Now I want to take you to 1 John 5:18, and I want to show you something that's required if you want the demons to be able to listen to what you have to say. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. According to what God says, once we get saved, what are we supposed to do when it comes to sin? There's not supposed to be none, is there? We're supposed to die to sin. Is that what he said? Like I said a while ago, you know what my worst enemy is? The flesh that I live in, this beast. And unfortunately, you got one too. And of course, that's where we get sick, in our flesh. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. So if I walk in obedience to God's word, if we walk in obedience to God's word with no sin, how much legal right does Satan have to touch us? Zero. He can't make us sick. He can't kill us. He can't do anything because he has no legal right. I look at this like I look at the police department out here. If there's any police officers in here, I don't mean this to be derogatory to you. I mean, the police officers work for the city or the state or whatever, and they have a chief of police. The chief of police says, I'm putting y'all out here. I want you to work on this highway right out here. And we got signs up out there say speed limit 65. Now, anybody that breaks those speed limit signs, I want you to stop them and give them a ticket. And every time one of us drives above 65 miles an hour, what do? They stop us. They write us a ticket. They got you on radar. Stopped you, said, you know, I don't understand, you know, why you were in a hurry, but you were driving 75. He thought, oh my goodness, I was driving. When you turned the light on, I looked down, that's what I was doing, 75. Probably cost you a couple of $100, you know, no problem. But now then, if we don't speed, how many of us are going to get a ticket? Not one single one of us. So you see this relationship between the devil and God and these demons? God put the devil out there, did he not? He made him. Is that true? God made Satan and a host of demons, and he gave them a job. And he tells them, if you see any Christian or any person and they're reading pornography, you have legal right to attack their left eye. Isn't that something? I've seen that over and over and over. And when it comes to unforgiveness for you ladies, we have so many ladies here today, let me share something with you. If you're a lady and you get into unforgiveness toward a female, and especially if the female is a family member, you know where the cancer will come up on you? In your left breast. I have seen it hundreds of times. In fact, Cheryl and I, in the 9 or 10 years we've been in the ministry together, Cheryl and I have almost a 100% healing success with women with cancer in her breast. Is that awesome? Almost every woman that comes to us. Now then, Cheryl has really narrowed this down to a fine point. I never did this, but years ago, I realized when a woman came to me and she said, I got breast cancer, I'd already learned. I said, you got unforgiveness toward a female. Oh yeah, I do. Oh my goodness. I said, you got to forgive her and then I'll pray for you and God will heal you. And every time they got well. After Cheryl come into ministry with me as my wife, she's standing here with me, and when they have unforgiveness, she would say, against who? And they would say, my mother, my sister. Well, where's the cancer? In my left breast. So Cheryl started putting it together. Every time a woman has an unforgiveness toward a female member of her family, daughter, sister, always the cancer will be in her left breast. Isn't that something? Every time. Happens every time. Now, she has unforgiveness toward a female acquaintance, not a member of the family, a lady she works with or somebody she knows or whatever, the breast cancer will always be in the right breast. We had a lady and her husband stand right here a while back, and she come up and I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I got breast cancer in my right breast. But she said, I've been listening to your stuff, but I guarantee I don't have any unforgiveness toward a female. I said, well, ma'am, the evidence is against you. So Cheryl started talking to her, and then I started talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, you said any man lacks wisdom, let him ask you, and you would tell me what I need to know. I need wisdom in this woman's case. When I said that, the Lord says, ask her if her husband has ever committed adultery on her. I said, honey, stop. Hold it. I hate to butt in, but I said, ma'am, is your husband, has he ever committed adultery on you? She said, yes, he did about 10 years ago, but I forgive him. And then the Lord spoke to me and says, ask her if she's forgiven the woman. I said, ma'am, how about the woman that your husband committed adultery with? She said, I said, oh, we hit a nerve. I said, there's the unforgiveness. I said, that's why you got breast cancer in your right breast. I said, forgive her. She said, you don't know how hard it is. I said, do you want to lose your right breast? No. I said, it'd be very easy for me then. I'd just forgive her and turn her over to God and let him take care of it. But I ain't going to use me as a woman losing my right breast because of a woman my husband committed adultery with 10 or 15 years ago. That's history. You can't change that. It's done. So forgive her. So she did. And we prayed for her. And just a few weeks later, the woman's completely healed. No more breast cancer. Why? Why do we not forgive? Isn't that something? You know, there's lots of people here today that have been healed of different things. And I'm so grateful to God for all of those. So if you're a Christian, you ought to be on fire for Jesus. You ought to be praying for people. You ought to be getting people saved. You ought to be getting people healed. Our job on this earth is to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. That is our whole ultimate goal while we're here. It's doing things for the kingdom of God. It's not doing anything else. And I believe his word. I mean, I have demonstrated it. I mean, I started this out 10 years ago with my little granddaughter when she was killed in a car wreck. I mean, her brain stem was severed. You know, her eyes were jerked out of her brain. Her skull was crushed in five places. Every organ in her body was damaged. Her right knee was crushed. Her left leg broken right below her ankle, her knee and right above her ankle. I mean, every doctor at Cook's Medical Center said, I'm sorry, it's over for Caitlin. I took one verse, John 15:7. I want to show you this verse. I'm going to show you what we can do with the Word of God if we'll believe it. Now then, the average person, if somebody comes in and says, I'm sorry, you're terminal, you know what we do? We fall apart. I'm talking about Christians. We fall apart. You know, oh, woe is me. Well, hey, what's the big deal? So if you die, you get to go to heaven. You know, if you die and you get to go to heaven, isn't that where we're all planning to go? Yeah, we're planning to go to heaven, but it's like we don't want to get there anytime soon. You know, we want to stay down here in this old world. Well, I don't care. It don't make any difference to me. But I'm going to stay here till God's through with me. And then when he's through with me, that's when I'm going home. Yeah, amen. But I want you to see this awesome promise. Whenever they tell you that your granddaughter is impossible, there is no way she can live. Three of the finest doctors down at Cook's Medical Center said, it's over for Caitlin. I said, her brainstem severed? He said, yes. I said, what about her eyes? He said, they're jerked out of her brain. I said, so what's attached to her brain? He said, according to the MRI, nothing. So he said, it's impossible for anybody to live with nothing attached to their brain. I said, so what happened? He said, in the impact, when it hit 70 miles an hour head on with the truck, when she went forward and hit the seat in front of her, her brain came forward with such impact it severed the brain stem. He said, when she bounced back, then it jerked back the other way, and the brain went the other way, and it jerked everything off the front side, which are eyes and everything else. So he said, I'm telling you, there's nothing attached to her brain that's impossible for her to live. Now, the average person would say, oh, God, where are you? I know where he's at. He ain't far away. He lives right there. Amen. In every one of you. So I took one of his promises. Look at this one. If you abide in me, now that's the problem. We do not abide in him. We abide in the world. We spend too much time watching television and the junk and the crud and talking about stuff and living in the world, and we do not abide in Christ. When I ask a young boy, do you know who number 12 is for the Dallas Cowboys? I have no idea who that is. And they'll say, oh yeah, that's so-and-so. He makes this much money. He runs this many yards. He makes this many tackles. Or he made this or that. Well, do you know who John the Apostle was? An apostle? What's an apostle? They have no idea. The young people. But it's not just the young people, it's the old people. The men and women, the boys and girls, they have no idea who these people are. And so, look what the Lord says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Now then, how big is your Jesus? I don't know about yours, but mine created the universe. Amen. Is that yours? Amen. If my Jesus and your Jesus, he formed the universe, and he spoke, and he said, oh, by the way, I'm going to make all these stars just for y'all too, so you have a little light at night. You have any idea how many of them things are out there? There ain't no way we'll ever know. There's billions, maybe trillions of them things out there, and they glisten all through the cosmos. And here we are on a little tiny ball that's about 25,000 miles straight through it, and we're running around in a circle at about 1,000 miles an hour. We're spinning, and then we're going forward through the cosmos around the sun every 365 and a quarter days at approximately 70,000 miles per hour. Right now, You and I are moving 70,000 miles an hour forward and spinning 1,000 miles an hour, and you can go outside and probably not even a breath of air blowing. Now you tell me how he does that. I don't know how he does that, but I know what I've told you is a fact. And if he can do that, and he can sustain me every day, I know if he made me a promise like that, I don't care how bad my granddaughter's tore up, I don't care what the circumstances is, the king says, you can ask me for anything and I'll do it for you. And I stood on that word, and I'm telling you, I don't care, a week later, whenever the doctor said, well, we don't know how she's living, but we just done another MRI. And there's absolutely nothing attached to her brain. So we're going to disconnect her this week. And when we do, she will decease. And you do not want to resuscitate her because she'll be a vegetable. I said, she will not be a vegetable. I said, she will run and play. And I said, I guarantee it because my Jesus made me a promise. You know how many people I look like a complete idiot to? All of them. That's exactly right. Even my church members. The people that I went to church with, the Baptist church, they thought Thurman Scrivener had lost his ever-loving mind. Well, I have. And I've lost it for Jesus.
Yeah.
Did Jesus say, if my words abide in you, and if you abide in me, I can ask? I don't know about you, but if when I got a God as big as my God and he says I can ask for anything, look out, I'm dangerous. I'm dangerous. And you know, if the security comes to get me and all the stuff, and they say, man of God, we want you to come with us. I said, if I be a real man of God, may fire come down from heaven and kill all of y'all. Has that ever happened before in the scriptures? Oh, yeah. I mean, the man of God, when he said, if I be a man of God, fire come down from heaven and kill you and your 50. Bam, they were all 50 dead. And the second bunch come out, and they did the same thing. And when the third bunch come out, that one come out, and he said, Lord, don't kill us. But the king would like to talk to you. Okay, I'll go talk to him. We have no idea what God has given us and the power he's given us. And here we are running around all uptight, fear, afraid of everything, can't do nothing. When he made these promises.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled So Important to Forgive Everyone, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.